Ronaldinho to Messi. Will he get that first goal for Barcelona? Remember the name, Lionel Messi. At the age of 17, scores his first goal for Barcelona. Back to Mbappe! What a great day it's been for him!
Oh, spectacular, Thiago!
Haaland, look, very accomplished player himself, and Haaland
in behind goes for goal! Oh, what a start to his Dortmund career! One chance, one goal!
Hello and welcome to Pure Fit Boys Euro 2020 preview. I'm your host, Alistair Madden, and as ever, this podcast will be in-depth, unbiased, and Scottish. In this series, we will look to understand each of the nations at the tournament and break down playing style, key players, and expectations. On the show today, we will be reviewing Germany, and to do so, I'm delighted to say that we are joined by Byron Hutchison. Byron is the social media marketing manager at the Bundesliga, and he's also the leading voice on Scottish players playing abroad. You can find Byron's excellent work at footballfromafar.com. You can also follow Byron on Twitter at Byron Hutchison. Do give him a follow, some excellent content. Byron, great to have you on. How are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. It's we're recording on Friday night, mid-May Friday night, and I've just been to the gym, feeling good and ready to speak about the shambles, shall we say, perhaps, or the not entirely in order entity that is the German national team. I'm going to ask you to cast your mind back, Byron, to the qualifiers and the qualification route for Euro 2020. What was the expectation for this Germany team going into these qualifiers, Byron?
Yeah, I think as ever with Germany, probably to win the group and probably win it at a canter. They had a pretty easy group on paper with Northern Ireland, Estonia, Belarus and the Netherlands. So I think overall the expectation is that they would go into that and win every game almost, the Netherlands being the obvious challenge. There's obviously a bit of a historic rivalry there as well. The Netherlands are putting together a pretty decent team. But yeah, from the beginning, I think the Germans would have expected to win every single game.
Do you think as well, even after the disappointing 2018 World Cup and the performances at that World Cup were really quite sub-average, do you think the expectations were maybe tapered somewhat because of those performances?
Yeah, definitely. I think, so I'm saying they would expect to win every game, and that's predominantly down to the opposition. Like I said, Northern Ireland, Estonia, Belarus, as sort of disappointing as Germany were at the World Cup, they're still going to expect to beat those teams. The Netherlands game in itself is obviously going to be slightly different. Mm-hmm. And on the whole, I think they did a decent enough job. I would say they probably had a middling performance throughout the qualifying. They dealt well with the aforementioned easier teams with 6-1 wins, 4-0 wins and 8-0 win over Estonia. But the Dutch games were probably the worry. Overall, a 4-2 loss and a 3-2 win that I don't think they really deserved in the end were the ones that set you up. Because if you're a side like Germany and you're looking towards the European finals or a World Cup or something like that, teams like the Netherlands are the ones you have to beat. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they performed particularly well in those two games.
Just looking ahead now, we've obviously had some games since those qualifiers, and one in particular, which I think you may or may not want to discuss, that performance against Spain. How do you expect the team to perform off the back of those performances going into Euro 2020 this summer?
Yeah, it's really tough actually, because they had a decent qualifying campaign, like I said, and then since the pandemic kicked in about September 2020, when they started playing again, they've had some really middling or poor performances, like the Spain one you mentioned. Most recently, the really awful result against North Macedonia, where they lost 2-1 at home as well. I think, on the whole, it's quite hard to say because they're still sort of rebuilding a team to some degree, and that's sort of driving a lot of the debate within Germany. Squad selection is a really big deal for them heading into the Euros. There's a lot of players that were sidelined post-World Cup. That's your Khedira's, your Thomas Müller's, Marco Reus, Mesut Ozil, Hummels, Boateng, all these sort of old hands were cast away by Jurgi Löw, and there's quite a demand now or a call to bring some of them back, at least the ones that are performing, Thomas Müller, Marco Reus specifically, and even Hummels to a degree. So I think that's a really key thing for them heading into the Euros.
Just honing in on those players who were discarded, if you like, and obviously some of those players are now playing very well, in particular, as you say, Thomas Müller. What was the initial reaction in Germany when those players were discarded? Were people on Löw's side, or was there a split in the camp, so to speak?
Yeah, I think it was probably split. Although they performed quite poorly, I think casting off particular players or sweeping them all aside, you're kind of throwing the baby out of the bathwater a little bit. There was clearly issues with that Germany team, and they clearly struggled. But at the end of the day, you're talking about three games, which they didn't perform, which is fine. That's obviously enough to get you knocked out of a World Cup. But losing to Mexico, like Mexico's a decent side, and in a one-off game they can beat you. I think making rash wholesale changes like that based on those, I'm saying three results, but they beat Sweden, those two results against South Korea and Mexico, is probably a bit overboard. I can see the logic behind it, trying to start fresh, trying to start for a new cycle for the Euros. There's a lot of young talent in Germany, obviously, so it's not like there's a lack of players coming through. But you're talking about getting rid of, in Thomas Müller in particular, like one of the best players in the world in his position still. And it really doesn't make that much sense. He's still performing at Bayern Munich really, really well at a really high level. So I would say it was split overall. And then as time's gone on, as those middling results I mentioned in the sort of September 2000 onwards have started to, just as they start to have those poor results, the cries to get Müller and Reus and Hummels back in the team have grown louder and louder, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. And just more generally, looking ahead to the tournament this summer, how do people in Germany feel? What's the national mood, I suppose?
unenthusiastic, probably, is what I'd say. I think for Germany, every tournament's really must win for it to be deemed anything other than a failure. They're obviously a giant nation within football. Like I said, they produce some of the very best players in the world. But the mood around the national side since that World Cup's been fairly miserable. And the Germans, again, this is quite anecdotal, but they can be quite apathetic towards their national team anyway. There's a sort of political side of it too, but I think in general, most people are quite apathetic and a bit, at least the sense I've got, especially during the Nations League, for example, I would say most Germans, even football fans, don't really care too much about the national team at the moment, which is maybe a bit of a weird thing to say, especially with both of us being Scottish and interest in the national team being at an all-time high because we've qualified for the Euros. For a country like Germany, that's obviously a given. And I think, especially when you look at their group with France and Portugal and Hungary, they're not particularly optimistic heading into it as a whole.
One of the reasons perhaps for that lack of optimism is maybe the fact that Jurgi Löw hasn't convinced, certainly of late, as the manager of the national team. How would you describe Jurgi Löw's playing style these days with the German national team, Baron?
Quite hard because, like I say, because the results have been middling, it's hard to sort of say that he's got a coherent system in mind or he's doing something specifically because he's sort of chopping and changing depending on whether or not they've had success or not. They tend to, they're obviously a dominant side and they try and retain possession as much as possible, tend to play in a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3. I don't think they can really, as Germany, you can't really try and play any other way. I think in terms of the Euros, the problem they're going to have is, like I said, with France and Portugal in the group, they're coming up against two very good sides. And in Hungary, they're coming up against a side who will be more than happy to hit them on the counter-attack and break against them. And defensively, Germany have looked anything but solid recently. So I think in general, they'll try and work their way into the box. They'll try and dominate possession. They'll try and pin teams down, pin teams back. Another issue they have, though, is that they kind of lack a traditional number nine. They're really, really struggling for one, I would say. We talked about questions around squad selection and things like that. But at the moment, if you look at their forward options, there's no Mario Gomez or Miroslav Klose-type character there to finish off the moves. And I actually think if they had a player like that, they would be performing a lot better. And that's not to say Timo Werner's not a great striker. I think he is, but he's not that guy at all. He's not the same type of player. And they're kind of still set up in a way to play with that kind of striker, with a Miroslav Klose or a Mario Gomez type. So it's a bit of an issue. I expect they'll dominate play as much as possible. I expect they'll try and work high quality chances, but whether or not they have a guy there to put them away is another question.
Beyond that lack of a kind of clinical number nine, if you like, are there any other weaknesses with this Germany team that we should look out for? And at the other end of the spectrum, are there any tactical strengths that we should perhaps be looking out for when we watch Yogi Löw's Germany?
Yeah, sure. So I think the wing play is obviously something. They've got a plethora of brilliant wingers between guys like Gnabry or Leroy Sané or whoever else. They've got plenty of players there out wide, even youngsters like Jamal Musiala, maybe more of a 10/winger, but they've got young guys there that are young or coming towards their peak, who are at the very top end. I think defensively is probably where a lot of the issues lie as well. Having got rid of people like Boateng, like Hummels, they're now relying on people like Jonathan Tah or Matthias Ginter, who I think Ginter in particular thinks a good centre-back in his own right, but they seem to have been having issues together, not really gelling properly. And I think if you look at Germany's back four from their most recent games, there's a sort of, I wouldn't say they're not, like I say, they are good players, and for international level, they're sort of more than adequate, but they're maybe not up to the standard you would expect of a German national team, or a very, very top tier national team, especially when you look to one of their opponents like France and some of the defenders they have available, especially at centre back. There's no one really of that quality in the Germany team. So I would say defensively it's an issue, and they've looked a little rocky throughout the last year or so, or since 2018 really, in that department.
Absolutely. It does strike me as well when I watch the German national team, not that I have too many opportunities to catch a glimpse of them, but yeah, certainly recent performances defensively, there have been apparent and obvious issues. Let's focus now on players who we think could perhaps stand out for Germany this summer. If you had to pick one player who really makes the German national team tick, who's really a kind of go-to man, who would you go for, Byron?
I would probably go for Joshua Kimmich. I think it's the same for Bayern Munich. I think actually between Kimmich and Goretzka, they've arguably got the best sort of double pivot in world football at an international level. For Kimmich, I would say he's the best at what he does in the world. They're both only 26, so I think if Germany do go deep in the tournament, it'll be those guys at the heart of it. They're obviously Champions League winners. It's not a secret that they're very good. Mm-hmm. But I think being, like I said, only 26, and if they were able to do something on the global stage, as it were, an international tournament, it would really be like a sort of breakthrough moment for them. At least at that level, I feel like players who play for Bayern Munich get overlooked internationally sometimes, just because it's a given that Bayern Munich win the Bundesliga and make it to the semi-final of the Champions League or the final or win it. So they tend not to get the credit they deserve sometimes, I feel. But yeah, Joshua Kimmich would be the one I would say. If everything they do will go through Joshua Kimmich, playing in that midfield. He's a brilliant distributor of the ball. He covers ground really well. He's good defensively, obviously started life as a right back. He's just brilliant in all aspects of what's asked of him as a sort of deep lying playmaker in that midfield. If he can carry over his form from Bayern Munich to Germany, he would be the one that would be the obvious breakout star. I think, as I said, he's obviously a household name already, so it's not a hugely controversial take that. But I think there's obviously some real youngsters in the squad as well. Most likely Jamal Musiala will be there, Florian Wirtz will be there, and this will probably be most people's first real look at them, particularly Florian Wirtz. Mm-hmm. People have maybe seen glimpses of Musiala, particularly with him having been eligible for England. I think there have been interest there. And Musiala is the one that I think could probably really make an impact off the bench. He's done it plenty for Bayern Munich this season. Mm-hmm. He does seem to come into games and play without pressure. He's done it, like I say, for Bayern this season already. In big games, he's came on and scored important goals for them. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do the same at the Euros. Wirtz is a brilliant player as well. I wouldn't expect as much from him myself. He's great, but playing for Germany at a European final, there's going to be tons of pressure on him. And if they do end up taking guys like Marco Reus and Thomas Müller, I wouldn't expect to see him playing as much as Musiala might get some time off the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think Wirtz in particular is one who could, maybe not so much this tournament, but certainly a player to watch out for. Musiala is more, as you say, someone who, coming off the bench, we might see more of. Yeah, regardless, there's so many exciting young players coming through, and I'm sure you'll be keeping your eye on those players, Byron. I'm going to ask you this one last question, and I tell all my guests they can answer it with their head or their heart. Now, obviously, you have your links to Germany, but you're not too big a fan, or you're fairly neutral when it comes to the German national team. So I imagine you'll opt to answer this last question with your head. But how far, realistically, do you think Germany could and will go this summer, Byron?
It's really hard because they've got such a tough group. I think even if this was a good German team or a German side that was in really good form, having France and Portugal in their group, I'd be a little bit wary of being too optimistic for them. I think the reality is they can beat France, they can beat Portugal, they can certainly beat Hungary. For me, I can see them getting out of the group, maybe getting to the quarterfinal, but that's probably about it. I don't think that would represent a good tournament for them by any means. I think they should be doing better than that. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely probably questions that should be asked about management, whether Jurgen Löw should still have been in the job post-World Cup, etc. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would probably say quarterfinal. I'd be interested to hear what you think about that, though.
Yeah, I probably would agree with you there. It's interesting. A lot of the people who I've been speaking to for this series do seem to be exercising a degree of caution, maybe not wanting to end up with proverbial egg on their face and saying that a team would get to the final and waltz their way through the knockout stages only to be undone in the round of 16, a la Spain, for example, in the World Cup in 2018. Germany, of course, didn't even make it out the groups. So Germany fans will be hoping for a slightly more respectable performance than that summer, probably still having nightmares of Irving Lozano running riot through the German backline.
Yep.
But yeah, Byron, it's been fantastic having you on. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks a lot, mate. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, good stuff. And do check out Byron on Twitter at Byron Hutchison and visit footballfromafar.com for some brilliant insight into Scottish players playing abroad, the leading voice on such players. Anyway, thank you to you, the listener. Hopefully you're staying safe. Hopefully you're staying well. Goodbye.